Well, if you don't want to know the secrets, then call Aaron at Aaron Security, and he'll keep them a secret. Carly Simon, we have no secrets. There are no secrets on the web, are there?
There are no secrets on the web.
No, there are not. There are not. You think it's secret. Yeah. It's not secret.
There's actually a phenomenon, believe it or not, called the Streisand effect.
Like Streisand, like in Barbara?
Barbara Streisand. There was something, I don't remember the details. There was something negative about Barbara that had been put out.
Right.
And five people saw it and commented, and one of them told Barbara. So she went ballistic and went to every news outlet and said, hey, no one pay attention to this. Nobody, don't look at this. Don't. And so as a
Everybody did.
Sure. Yeah.
And so now they call it the Streisand effect. Rather than just keep your mouth closed and hope it goes away or people will ignore it, don't bring attention to it because, I mean.
Yeah, good point.
What do we have? We had a Miss America who had a video come out after the fact.
Oh, that was way back when?
Way back when.
Vanessa Williams.
That's right.
And it was, it was pictures in Penthouse.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, but there was, no, but I know the one he's talking about. There was another one. Yes.
People, you have to realize once it's out there, it's out there.
Look at Kevin Hart was gonna be that's hosting right. the Oscars, yeah. And look, some stuff that he put out 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
10+ years ago.
So you sit there and you talk to your three friends about what a jerk my boss is, and you start questioning his ethnicity, questioning his birth, you know, whatever. And it's like, ha ha, and you move on. Do not think that is not going to come back and haunt you.
At some point.
It just hangs out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You find people that when they're younger, in college, just out of college, in a job, and they start spouting off maybe some political opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
5 years later, they decide, I'm going to run for office.
Yep.
And it's going to come back. And
of course it's going to come back.
As I say, my daughter, 12-year-old, I talk to her all the time. I say, keep in mind, anything you put it on Snapchat or Facebook, and you don't think anything of, oh, is it a party? And this guy got drunk and he passed out, so we took a picture of him. Well, that's going to come back.
That's my congressman.
You know, it's funny. I just like on social media over the weekend, I'm like, there's a picture of Bernie Sanders with dark hair.
No.
There's like, here's something he said 30 years ago. Yeah,
did they have cameras back then?
Yeah, but believe it or not, you know, I know. It was run by the Flintstones, but it's still.
That, when I write bad things about you.
Oh, yes.
I do it on yellow notebook paper. Then when I'm done, it goes in the wood stove. There you go. Nobody knows.
There you go.
And I managed to vent, and it's okay.
But everybody else, you put something out on Twitter. We were just talking about Twitter.
Yep.
It is not Twitter's responsibility what you put out there.
Right.
Sure. Absolutely. There is a law, Communication Decency Act, CDA 230, they call it. And the reason I know this is because...
God, you really have no life, do you?
Yeah, you know. If you ever met my wife, you'd never understand how or why she married
all right,
me. But
yeah.
Basically, what it says is a provider is not responsible for content on their site.
That
correct.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes
absolutely.
Complete sense.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people now that don't like that, and they're trying to change that. And
it's not up to the provider.
Oh, right.
I don't think.
Do you remember maybe last year? There's a periodical called Backpage,
mm-hmm.
and it has independent newspapers in every city. On the back page is men seeking women, men seeking men.
Right. Okay,
fish,
yeah, sure.
Whatever it
okay.
is.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there's also a website. Well, there used to be a website
called
backpage.com, and apparently it was used quite a lot for prostitution, sex trafficking.
Correct.
And
under the guise of being a dating kind of meeting place.
Escort, not prostitution.
Correct, yeah.
You know, I didn't know they had those when I was going
to
prom.
See, I know nothing about this
stuff. Yeah, I know,
okay.
I know.
Well, so they ended up basically shutting the website down
mm-hmm.
and saying that they were contributing to sex trafficking. And their defense was, we just make a platform.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not in favor of child slavery, white slavery, any slavery whatsoever. We're not in charge of forcing people into doing anything.
Right.
But we built a platform. If people come on the platform, there's a limit to what we can control,
mm-hmm.
what they can and they cannot do. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole story because I'm sure there's five sides to that story.
Right. But what they're saying makes sense.
It absolutely does.
Because you've got First Amendment, freedom of speech, so you can say whatever you want.
Right.
We're just giving the platform to do it. We don't agree with you. We don't disagree.
Sure.
But a boom.
And a lot of people that aren't sophisticated, I'll say. They want to blame Google for child pornography.
Yeah, I know.
Google doesn't make child pornography.
Right. No, Google didn't film anything. Dude, Google isn't passing it on to their friends.
Absolutely not.
It's people.
And they actually, I will give kudos to Google because they do. They're one of the companies that will actively go out and look for inappropriate material on their website as opposed to what Google does as a search engine. It goes and it searches the web and then it aggregates all that and says, okay, you want to find this? Go here.
You are a virtual coffee shop, if you will. And if people are meeting prostitutes at your coffee shop, I don't think you're doing a bad job running the coffee shop.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you were to make that analogy?
No, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right.
But I'm just, if I'm a small business person.
Yes.
Or I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
Personal John Q. Citizen. Do we have to take the same security steps? Or is it different?
Well, I actually have a very good answer for that. It really depends.
Well, duh, Aaron. That's what I'm asking you for.
I had a gentleman ask me a question. How often should I back up my computer? And I said, well, how important is your data? What do you have?
Right.
If you're a small business and it's mission critical, you have that data all the time, you should be backing that up. If not, hourly in real time. You can actually real time back up.
On floppy disk.
Okay, easy you.
What?
Okay. Floppy disk.
You can do it locally. I mean, I'm paranoid, so I have a real time backup.
See, I don't see that. Okay.
In one cloud. I have a hard drive that's also doing real time backup, and then I have another cloud provider that I back up.
See, the cloud still scares me.
It should.
Okay, thank you.
It absolutely should. People, it's not a panacea. People think, oh, well, all my stuff's in the cloud. I got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, right. Now, something, it's out of your control.
If I get into your email, I can get into everything.
Yeah. I know.
I can go reset all your passwords and say, oh, I forgot my password at my bank. Could you please send me a new password so I can get into it?
Bang.
And so people will reuse passwords, use the same password for everything. It's easy to remember that way.
I know. It's reality.
Bad habit to get into because once you get one, you got it all.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do it. I have been guilty of it in the past.
I know.
It's really easy. Oh, well, who's going to care if I go to, you know, this electronics website to buy a drone? Who's going to care? Who's going to want? Well, they can get your credit card information.
Yep.
They can get your personal information. Yep. And it gets a little scary. And now, the flavor of the week, brackets.
Yeah.
I just got an email. Hey, open your bracket here.
Yep.
Download the bracket we've attached to this email, and you could win $64,000.
Yes, I know.
Or a trip to the Final Four.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm opening that. Hey.
All right, and everybody's kind of got that buzz going on in their head, and they're not thinking, don't click the link.
So what happens when I open it?
Well, a couple of things can happen when you open it.
Yeah.
If it is, anytime there's an attached file, Word document, PDF, picture, you should make sure that you're expecting it. In other words, hey, you know, I haven't talked to my cousin Gene in 14 years, and now he says, hey, I need you to open this and look at it for some bizarre reason.
Right.
You really got to stop and think, I haven't heard from Gene in 14 years. Do I owe him money? Why is he reaching out to me?
Right. And why do I have to look at this?
And why
is he not just telling me in an email?
Yeah. Right. I mean, even
Cousin Gladys passed away or whatever. Right. Yeah. Why?
Cousin Gladys passed away. I need to talk to you about your inheritance.
That's great, and that's fine in a simple sentence. Not click the attachment.
Correct. Yeah. And it's always easy, in hindsight, to look back and go, I probably should.
But what's happening when I open that?
When you open that again,
what could happen?
The angels could come up. No, generally what
not in my life, man.
Generally, what happens is the attached file is more than just text. Like we talked before about emails are more than just pictures.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually links to pictures.
Correct.
A attached file is actually some code.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, let's say, a PDF, an Adobe PDF,
right,
you can use it on any platform.
Correct.
There's a lot of things that come with that allow you to open it and view it, modify it. Sometimes you can fill out a form.
Right.
There's a lot of underlying code in there.
Yeah.
And you might not notice the extra 5 or 10 lines we buried in there. You might not notice that the little pop-up comes up into the corner of your screen and then disappears.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is it's installing software on your machine. It's either going to take an action right then.
Mm-hmm.
And why did my computer shut down and I can't start it up?
Can I do anything at that point or am I already screwed?
You can have a good backup.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
If you have a backup, okay, you could recover.
It's actually almost distressing,
mm-hmm,
because it continues to happen. Municipalities.
Yeah.
Somebody opens an email, whole municipality gets basically locked.
Right.
They ransom. It's called ransomware. And they say, if you don't pay us, you know, X amount of Bitcoin, then all your files are going to be encrypted forever and ever.
Ugh.
And the solution to that is to have a backup.
Right.
If you have a backup from even yesterday, you can either sit there and go, oh my gosh, our computers are locked up, we can't do anything, let's go to the bar next door until they figure it out. Or
you could go ransomware.
But this stuff
isn't on my backup.
No.
Okay.
No. Because a backup is like a snapshot in time.
Right. Yeah.
So yesterday, before you got the haircut, we took a picture.
Okay.
Then you got a really bad haircut.
But what I'm saying is, you had said it could happen now.
Yep.
Or it might defer for a little while.
Yes.
If I take the snapshot, am I taking the snapshot of that stuff?
Yes. You are. Mm.
That's my point. So there's no gimme, so I'm backing it up, but I'm bringing it with me.
Yes, that's absolutely
after it has happened.
I'm beginning to hate
you're right.
You.
After
you know that.
Well, yeah, but these aren't things that can happen. These are real things that can happen.
But these are things I don't think about. That's why I'm asking. Well, wait a minute.
If I'm backing up before you click,
and if this thing doesn't do it instantly,
right,
then I'm basically saving the virus or the malware to open up at a later
date. That's like clever malware.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more clever.
It's
this is why I need you.
They're getting smarter and they're getting more sophisticated and more clever. A lot of times now, you'll download it, nothing will happen for a week.
Yeah.
Two weeks.
So you think everything's, you don't even remember what it is you clicked.
Right.
So are you getting smarter and more sophisticated along with them?
We're trying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
a game.
It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It really is. We're always playing catch-up.
And chess. In a way. Because you can kind of see a couple moves ahead,
but you
can't. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what somebody's going to come up with in a month.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I have a lot of respect for some of these guys. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not probably the right word.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
They're very clever.
They're geniuses. They're evil geniuses.
They are evil geniuses.
But they're geniuses.
And they come up with things that, you know, it is impressive. If you take a step out and say, wow, that's some very impressive code, that's impressive. Then you look at what the code does and that's not so
Then
good.
It's like, no,
it's
yeah.
not
well,
so
remember,
good.
What was the DiCaprio movie? Catch Me If You Can?
Sure.
Tom Hanks was trying to get him.
Yep.
The FBI actually hired him because he was a forger.
Because he was that good.
How do you catch a forger? With a forger.
Yeah.
Same thing. These guys, if I'm a Fed or a government, I want these guys on my side, not working against me.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was Frank Abagnale's.
That's it.
Frank Abagnale. Yep, absolutely.
And he was, again, very, very smart guy.
Yep.
He definitely had steel will.
Yeah.
Let's just say. But he manipulated a lot of people. There's one scene that they're in he's a doctor. He's playing a doctor.
I know.
Which is crazy, but
I know.
And he goes, you know, do you concur? And he goes, oh yeah, absolutely. I concur. Yeah, I concur. Not knowing even what the word means.
Right.
And then later he's like, well, doctor, do you concur? And it's a younger doctor. And he goes, I don't know. And he goes, I should have concurred. God, I should have concurred.
Because
what DiCaprio is doing is what a lot of these, you know, bad actors are doing. They're saying, hey, you know, this is the way we want you to think. This is what we want you to do. These are the actions we're driving you toward. And you talk about Kevin Mitnick is a name that people my age, let's just say, remember because he was the first big FBI most wanted hacker.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what he did, it was mostly socially engineering people.
Right.
I mean, he did write code, but most of what he did was he'd call up and say, hey, this is Dave, and I'm working from home today, and I forgot my password, or I forgot my verification module. I'm going to be in so much trouble if I don't get this, and I can't come in because I broke my leg, and this story and that story, and, you know, please take pity on me and just let me have it. And he got people to do things that would blow your mind.
Yep.
He got a security operations center at Motorola, sorry guys, to say, hey, you just call us when you get the prompt and we'll read you off the security operations center. We'll read you off our code. So you'll be fine. And so you
thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So
thank you so much,
you wanted to sleep tonight, put that one off.
See, don't you miss the days, and we're going to have to wrap up, but don't you miss the days when The scam letters were very badly written.
Yes.
There were typos. The website was like some email address that, okay, that doesn't even like right.
look
normal.
Like an email address. Yeah, yeah,
it was it was back in the day when even we could figure it out. And now it's gone light years past that stuff.
You look at these things like the Nigerian prince scam.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And you're like, who
that still works.
Who in their right mind would still fall for that? And it happens all the time. Yeah. And a lot of times it's older people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or it's people that just they're not computer savvy. And it's nothing against, it's not a slam against them. It's just the real, I can't do, you know, brain surgery very well.
And the disguises are getting a lot better. Anything that comes to you looks so official.
It's money. I mean, there was a study done, I think last year, the average Eastern European citizen mm-hmm. makes the equivalent of something like $700 a month.
Mm-hmm.
These guys can make $10,000 a day without leaving their room.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when you got to put food in your kid's mouth, your ethics get a little gray.
Right.
Yeah. Now, some of these ethics are black as night. But it really isn't. Look, if I'm going to make $10,000, I'm going to go hire a good graphic designer. I'm going to hire a good copywriter.
Right.
Then I'm going to make $100,000 and ruin people's lives.
So. Yeah. Saren Security, 866-666-4235. Check them out, Saren, Seron, SerenSecurity.com. Thanks for cheering us up again.
Thanks for having me.
Man,
that's all right, Aaron. It's okay.
This dark cloud comes in. I mean, we love you. It's just what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Every time you think, well, I got this. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And usually it's reaction to, hey, check what I just built so we can solve this. Well, that's great, Aaron, but that was 3 weeks ago.
And yeah, that was 3 weeks ago. Things have moved forward since then.
All right. Come on back.
Thank you.
We'll chat some more.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks.
Taking a break. Back with more.